Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
It is time again for the wonderful Dr. Ginger, Healthy Steps with Dr. Ginger. Hello, Dr. Ginger.
Oh, hello, Lisa. How are you today? And Andrea?
We're good, dear. We're glad to have you on. We always look forward to Healthy Steps with Dr. Ginger. So tell us, what is on for today?
Well, today I wanted to talk about that study that came out last week in the journal called Cell Metabolism that really made the headlines of the mainstream media. And to me, it was like, you know, finally, they're saying this, but of course they had their little caveat in there. But the main headline was about, with the study, was that middle-aged people who ate a diet high in animal proteins from milk, meat, eggs, and cheese are four times as likely to die from cancers, diabetes, and other diseases. But it really put the animal protein versus the plant protein topic in the headlines, in the mainstream headlines. I mean, it's always in the headlines in kind of the alternative world. But, you know, I think mainstream out there is kind of paying attention to that now because it was a real shocker in the headline.
I guess my question would be is, you know, high consumption, what does that constitute? Is that eating, you know, like people who are on the paleo diet? Is that people who are on Atkins? Is that people who have meat once a day? Like, I when I hear studies like this, right away my radar goes up because I need more information because Lisa and As you know, Dr. Ginger, I mean, Lisa and I speak to people all the time, and we speak to people who are pro-paleo. We speak to people who are pro, you know, plant-based diet. So it's just, I feel like for the consumer, for us ourselves, it gets a little confusing. So just give us a little bit more information
right.
about the study.
Well, this study was almost 20-year study of over 6,000 adults, 6,300 adults, around the age of 50, and their protein consumption was about two-thirds of their protein consumption was animal protein. So it was you know, pretty high and probably in line with the Atkins, Mediterranean, Paleo, Dukin, all of those diets that are proponents of high animal proteins. It was kind of a shocker for, I think, a lot of people out there to see this, but this really kind of goes in line with the research of Dr. Colin Campbell, who wrote the book, The China Study, his 50 years of research and showing, and in particular when it relates to the cancer and how, you know, one of the major factors in determining cancer, if it progresses, is your protein intake and the content of that protein. And in his book, he discusses in great depth how when you start raising the amount of animal protein that you eat, the cancer starts to flourish. And when you turn it down, the cancer starts to diminish. And that does not happen with animal protein, I mean, with plant protein. And so you can really see the difference in his studies, but certainly this study was showing parts of that as well.
Now, Dr. Ginger, I'm not negating that. However, I'm just curious, what else were these people eating? Did they exercise? For example, I tend to think of myself as paleo, but I eat truckloads of vegetables, greens and cruciferous
right.
and whole nine yards. And I also eat small amounts, maybe twice a week I might have a tiny bit of grass-fed meat and a little chicken and pasture-raised eggs here and there. But the majority of my diet is vegetables and lots of green drinks. So, I mean, doesn't it obviously,
right.
I'd love to know what else they're eating.
More. You're probably a little more on the healthier side than most people are, and
I would think
the people in the study did consume some of those as well. But I know if you're drinking green juice and all of that, you're kind of pulling yourself. It's also relates to that acid alkaline thing. I mean, when you're dousing your body like Atkins, in just all animal proteins, you're very acidic, and so that sets your body up, for kind of that I talked about before, those weakest links kind of light switches switching on. But when you're doing some of the other things to kind of counter that, not everyone's ready to just do an all plant-based diet, and I understand that, and so that's why baby steps kind of progressing. But to me, seeing this, out in the mainstream media was like, okay, finally they're actually talking a little bit about this. Now, they had their little caveat in there about adults that were over the age of 65. It looks like they might require more protein, than those under the age of 50. And so they had that in there. But to me, it was a great, okay, that's a good first step because they're actually looking at it in relation to accelerating cancer's growth and increasing diabetes, raising the insulin, and lots of other health challenges that we're all facing.
I think it's interesting because, you know, they have also linked sugar, right? So high consumption of sugar. So now it's high consumption of sugar and protein that can lead to cancer, which I find is interesting.
And, you know, it's a myriad of things. It's definitely not just one thing. It's a lifestyle. But we have to take a look at these individual things and really kind of hone in and see what are we doing in this area, because that is not, you know, that is not helping our health. And so, you know, the animal protein versus plant protein is one thing. The sugars, you know, the things that you guys talk about all the time with your scary seven and all of your lists, all of those are very, very important as well.
I can share a personal story for myself. I used to eat a lot of animal protein, and this was before I was even non-GMO, so it wasn't even 100%, I mean, organic eggs, yes, but the rest of my meat wasn't 100% organic. And what I found was, and this was for many years, and what I found was, is I would always get chest pain on my left side, and I never knew what it was, and I couldn't figure it out. And for many, many years, and I would have, you know, eggs for breakfast and turkey for lunch and chicken for dinner. And, you know, once in a while I'd have red meat. I'm not the biggest red meat eater. And then eventually I was seeing a naturopath, and my naturopath's like, you know, why don't you just try decreasing the amount of animal protein you're eating. And I was like, okay. So I started decreasing it. And I, instead of eating it three times a day, I was literally down to once a day at night for dinner, because I like it at night, and it would be organic. So 100% organic. So now GMOs were cut out, and the amount I was eating was cut out. And not too soon after, and I'm not kidding you, I shed 5 pounds, and my pain, the chest of my pain completely disappeared. So I went back to my naturopath, and I was like, you know, look at this. I mean, I'm very in tune with my body. And I'm like, you have to see, I just wanted to share my, you know, what happened with me. And she's like, I'm not surprised, because it could be the hormones in the actual meat that I was eating maybe was doing something to my body and causing some type of ill effect on my body. So I found that's just my personal opinion, that if I have too much animal protein, it just doesn't, and I'm a B blood type. So I can have a little bit, but I do understand what it does to my body. So that helps anyone else out there who's feeling effects.
Even when you're going to a traditional doctor and say someone's diagnosed with heart disease or high cholesterol, what do they tell the patient? Well, cut back on your red meat. You know, we know that this is a problem and it causes health challenges. But yet, you know, you have bodybuilders out there, and, you know, and there certainly are lots of plant-based bodybuilders, but, you know, that 50% of their diet intake is animal protein. And, you know, that's a short-term fix of, you know, shedding weight and looking good, but, you know, you're trading your health for a temporary weight loss in a lot of instances. So you really just need to take a look at that and you know, do your own research. There's plenty of doctors and health centers out there, you know, Hippocrates Health Institute in Florida with Brian and Anna Marie Clement, Dr. Joel Furman, Gabriel Cousins, the Esselstyn, Rip and Caldwell, all of them have great information out there that you can, you know, you can decide yourself what you think based on the information out there and talk
listen
to
your body,
who, you know, change
right?
their diet. Exactly. But I was glad
Dr. Ginger,
to
give us some good sources of, yeah, I agree. Give us some sources quickly of some good protein in vegetable sources, plant sources.
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, you know, well, here's the first thing. We want the most bioavailable ingredients coming into our systems. And so protein, the building blocks of proteins are amino acids. And so that's why I'm such a big proponent of the greens, because they're full of bioavailable alkaline amino acids. So, you know, the green juices that we've talked about, kale, broccoli, the seaweed, you know, all of
avocados, great.
Yeah. You know, all of nature's foods have a wide array of amino acids and other, you know, wonderful building blocks for our bodies. And so we just need to focus on getting simple again and not complicating it.
We love it, Dr. Ginger. Well, as usual, you are awesome to have on the show, so thank you for being on today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'll see you next week.
And to learn more about Dr. Ginger, you can visit thedrginger.com or follow her at thedrginger on Twitter. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.